In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, having just been invited to leave the city after healing the demoniac and sending the spirits into the swine, Jesus now runs into trouble in his own city. Proof that no good deed goes unpunished. And throughout the Gospels, we encounter several paralytics whom Jesus heals. Now, this is a different one that we encounter today, a different one than the one who Jesus sees at the sheep's pool, who has no one to lower him in after the angel stirs his water. This is not the man we encounter today. Rather, we encounter the same man who was brought by his friends and lowered through an opening in the roof. To this man, who has an obvious physical ailment, Jesus does not say immediately, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." But he says instead, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven you." Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, St. Simeon, the new theologian, makes it clear that we are to consider ourselves as the paralytic in this story. Ourselves paralyzed by sin and in need of Christ's healing. St. Simeon writes, "For even if someone is a publican, a fornicator, an adulterer, a murderer, or whatever else, the master does not turn him away, but takes away the burden of his sins immediately and makes him free. And how does he take away the other's burden? Just as he took away that of the paralytic when he said to the latter, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.' And the man was immediately relieved of his burden, and in addition, received the cure of his body." His burden was not his paralysis. His burden was his sinfulness. Now this statement of Christ, "Your sins are forgiven you," was seen by the scribes as blasphemy. Because only God can forgive sins. And so here, this man is claiming to be able to forgive sins. He must be claiming to be God. That's blasphemy. If only they had allowed their minds to go just one step farther and see, perhaps this man is God. So Jesus goes on to demonstrate that he has such authority to forgive sins by healing not only this man's spiritual ailments, but also his physical disability. If he were a blasphemer, if he were a sinner the way they think he is, he would have no such power to do good. Only the one who created the paralyzed man has the power to heal him by his word alone. Okay, boys, ready to go back. Thank you. The healing of the body was not the more impressive miracle, nor was it the most urgent. Remember, St. Simeon says, "And in addition, he received the healing of his body." Rather, it was the healing of the soul that was Christ's main concern and the cause of this scandal. He healed the man of his paralysis not because it was necessary for this man to walk, but to prove to the scribes that the greater miracle of forgiveness of sins had indeed taken place. We too have that opportunity to receive this great miracle of forgiveness, to be called son, daughter, child by our Lord when we encounter him in the sacrament of the Eucharist, which by God's grace we will have the opportunity to do shortly. Jesus came to make his kingdom present here on earth and to reclaim his creation from the powers of sin and death that had come to reign here. Now you may have noticed that we started singing, O Lord, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. This is the Triparion of the cross. And the reason we are singing this today is because we celebrate one of the three feasts of the cross. So the first one is September 14th, one of the 12 great feasts of the church, which is the Exaltation of the cross. In the middle of Lent, we celebrate the Adoration of the cross. And then today on August 1st, we celebrate the Procession of the cross. And so on this day, we remember the simultaneous victories of the Greeks and the Russians carrying the cross into battle in defeat of their enemies. Now, they carried the cross not just as some extra thing. Hey, we're Christians. We do this thing in church where we carry the cross around. Let's also carry the cross into battle. But they carried the cross in the place of their national or family banner that would typically be carried. The purpose of the banner being carried into battle was so that your enemies would know who it is they're fighting. To let them know of the reputation of your strength. And to make it clear to whom the glory of victory in battle belongs. So much like Christ's victorious forgiveness and healing of the paralyzed man, which led the people to give glory to God, both the Russians and the Greeks flew not their own banners, but instead raised up the cross, the banner of the kingdom of heaven, and the symbol of Christ's victory for us. They did this indicating that their strength came not from themselves, but from God, and that the glory of victory belonged also to him and his kingdom. And so today, we join them in lifting up the cross of Christ as our strength and to give glory to him. And we have the opportunity to make his kingdom present now, today, here, by living in it. In the ancient world, it was not your place of birth that determined your allegiance or belonging in society, but it was by your actions, living in accordance to the customs and the rituals of that society. And so what does that look like for Christians? The Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans gives us a good idea, which we read today. In it, Paul describes a diversity of gifts, faithfulness, serving, teaching, encouragement, generosity, giving aid and acts of mercy. He instructs us to rejoice in our hope, that is the hope of the resurrection. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And my favorite one, outdo each other in showing honor. Many of us enjoy competition, so make it a competition. Not over who can gain the most honor for themselves, but who can show the most honor to others. If you're going to fight over not who has to do the dishes, but who gets it to do it for the other. Not who deserves the most, but who can give the most to others. Avoid accusing the other, but instead cover the other's mistakes and take the blame on yourself. This is what it means to show honor. Be a martyr for the other and crucify your ego on the cross. So that even if you don't wear a cross around your neck, those who you meet on the street will see the cross as your banner by how you live. And as we read in a previous gospel, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.